This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 624. We're back. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from Popsadorbs, Rise to Mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA2019.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the Fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever-boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros, and with me I have Toasty. How you doing, Toasty?
I'm recovered from the plague, which is nice. I'm talking normally, which is also nice. It was a rough holiday period for me. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, it sounded like you were having a hard holidays.
I didn't do my annual party with my friends on New Year's Eve. All I did was sit on the couch, watch Infinity Wars, and cuddled with my dog. And it was nice, but it was different. It was unsettlingly quiet, which I did not know how to react to. But I'm better now.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It sounds like a wonderful way to spend the New Year.
It's just not what I'm used to.
Fair enough.
Like New Year's Eve is the one time a year I really cut loose, and I didn't get to do that this year. So that's going to be all pent up, and next thing you know, I'm just going to, like...
You're drinking Four Locos and talking to Mark Morheim?
That, or other things. Rude.
I'm just going by history, man. Just going by history.
It'll be hard to do that, because he's not there anymore.
Yeah, that's true. No. We also have with us Allie. How you doing, Allie?
I'm so happy to be back. I missed the show the last 2 weeks. It didn't feel right. I'd get to a Monday and be like, yay, Christmas Eve. Oh, it's Monday and I should be recording. That's sad.
It did throw me for a loop. Yeah. I found myself on Christmas Eve like, I gotta get home. Like, no, I don't.
Right?
No, that's not required, Toasty.
I'm good, though. I was healthier than Toasty during the holidays, so that was good. Other than a really wicked pinched nerve in my shoulder that I'm still, like, dealing with and having to go to the chiropractor for and everything. I'm doing really good and ready for the new year and all the excitement that might bring.
That's awesome.
Yeah. How are you doing, Medros?
I'm doing all right. Was a good holiday and been a decent 2019 so far. Could use some things improving a little further, but we'll get there eventually. One cannot always control such things, as they say. What did you do in WoW the last couple weeks there, Allie?
Oh, I've done so much.
Really? I haven't seen any tweets at all that tells me what you've been doing.
No. So, on a whim, on Christmas Day, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try for Invincible. It is Christmas, you know, time of miracles and all that good, happy goodness. And so I tried ICC and I didn't get them out. So I was like, well, okay then. And I went to Onyxia instead. And on my second try with Onyxia on Christmas Day, I got the mount. So I was super excited. I've been going for that one for a while. Not as much as Invincible, but still good. And then 2 days later, I got Deathcharger's Reins, which I also have gone for off and on. But that was awesome. And getting those two mounts kind of brought back that desire to do some mount runs. So I've been doing a whole lot of mount runs and haven't gotten any other mounts, but doing those mount runs got me some extra gold, plus some gold from my husband, and I was able to get one of the frog mounts, and I'm so excited. I call him Hoppy, and he hops everywhere, and it's amazing. His mount special, he like kind of looks around and then like snaps a bug out of the air and eats it. It's really cool, and it's cool how he moves, and I just like giggle the whole time, and then other people laugh at me for it. It's good times for everyone, really. Yeah.
I'm disappointed. You should call them Ribbit.
I have other pets and stuff named Ribbit and things like that. I like how he hops. Like, if you're just, like, regularly walking along, he just, like, hops along. But then if you actually jump, it's, like, this ginormous hop. In Raid on Sunday, we were trying for Heroic Zool, which was horrible. But I was keeping everything lighthearted because in between pulls, I would, like, take my frog mount and just kind of, like, hop around the circle of the room and, like, hop over people and laugh, and they were laughing at me. So, you know, it kind of kept it lighthearted, and that's what you need sometimes, right? But yeah, that's pretty much been my 2 weeks, you know, just doing some world quests and invasions and working on my Pally, who is now 63. Excited to be doing some Dark Moon Fairy buff leveling this week. And that pretty much, that's it. Yeah.
Cool. How about you, Toasty? What did you do the last couple weeks?
Primarily, just did a bunch of world quests and invasions and island expeditions. Sorry, been grinding a lot of gear stuff. Like I'm on level 372 now, which I believe is just over you.
Well, actually,
no, don't take this away from me.
Well, see, here's a problem for you. Yes, you're technically correct. So why don't you click on this link right here. Just read what it says in the chat room there. In the Discord chat.
That's not even your main! God damn it!
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah.
I gotta get rid of this ring. Both these rings are holding me back. 345 and 350.
Yeah, my rings are holding me back too. 340 for both of them. On my main. But my main is 371. So you do beat me on my main.
One of my weapons is holding me back, but one of my weapons is still 350.
You have like two pieces of only one. You have one piece of Azrek gear that is way above mine. All mine's 375 on my main. I've not gotten a single piece bigger than that, higher than that for Azrek gear. And you've got some really nice pieces there. But yeah, my rings are holding me back. Looks like you have a trinket holding you back too for 355.
Yeah.
For my main, it's basically two rings. Like, if I can upgrade one of those to 370, I'm probably like 373, 374.
Damn it. God damn it.
But I've done assaults 4 days in a row now and emissary quests, and I've gotten no upgrades at all. Like, I literally got the same headpiece 2 days in a row for my main, and before that he got the same battle hammer 3 times in a row.
Yeah, that's been my problem. I'm stuck at 375 because I keep getting either the exact same piece that I already have or something that's the equivalent of it, whereas I'm watching my guildies get 385, 390s, and I'm just sitting here just pouting about it.
It's really frustrating because, you know, I even did world bosses. I like did the world boss on Arathi, the world boss on in the regular zones, as well as the new one that just popped up today in Darkshore, and no loot from any of them. So that was kind of frustrating. Like, no loot drop, no loot on roll. I was just like, are you kidding me? Are you freaking serious? But I will continue trying. I am enjoying them. So, you know, we'll see what happens when the next assault comes up, which I think is happening in 10 hours or so. Let's see here. 6 hours and 22 minutes. So that'll start around 2 a.m., 3 a.m.
No, I'm going to go to sleep.
Yeah, 3 a.m., and it runs for 7 hours, so it'll run till 10 a.m.
Oh. Maybe I won't go to sleep. Maybe I'll wake up really early tomorrow.
Just wake up.
That's what I would do.
They don't take too super long. You can probably just wake up a little early and do one.
Like, for me, they take about half an hour.
Yeah.
I mean,
depending on the alt.
That's not too bad.
See, the problem is I wake up at 5 every day.
Ooh, yeah, I've done the 5 o'clock wake-ups. I get you.
So
just do it.
Even
do
getting
it
up a little bit early is still really early by some people's standards.
Yeah,
yeah. I couldn't do that.
See, it's a remnant of me living with my parents because there were 7 people in that house, and 1 shower.
Yeah.
So getting up at 5 was a necessity, and now I have yet to break the habit. Like even on the weekends, I'm up at 5.
I'd have no problem breaking that habit. Like the first day I could, I'd be like, 6 o'clock. All right, done. Yeah, next day it'd be 7, and then.
Well, it can't be 7. I leave at 7.
Well, I would just at least slowly adjust my schedule, and like snooze 1 day or 2. But yeah, so we are even on eye level at this point.
Okay, I am also even with Allie in terms of paladin level.
Are you 63?
Yeah.
Oh man, it's on this week, dude.
I don't know how much I'll be able to play.
Josie, I do kind of feel bad for you. Like you're competing with me on eye level and her on pally level.
I got to both beat for item level, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Go do some more raiding.
But you raid.
Yes, I raid and have a horrible luck on drops. Otherwise, I'd be higher than you guys.
Although honestly, I've been thinking about getting back into it again. I just gotta figure out if I can fit it in my schedule. It's rough.
Aline in our Discord is what did she say? 385?
Something like that. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, she has us all beat. Ugh. I mean, well done, Aline. I'm not jealous at all. No, not at all.
She's got some good eye level there.
I'm trying.
I'm trying to find out where her eye level. She posted her eye level a few days ago. Like she does significant rating. So
yes, more so than I do. That's for sure.
384 is her eye level.
So yeah, I'm toying with the idea of getting back into raiding. Sarah invited me to join him. Yeah, I just gotta figure out if I can fit it into my, if I can fit it in my schedule, because like, yeah, it's a time commitment, obviously.
Yeah, that's true.
With other stuff that I want to be doing, I don't know if I can fit it in there. But I'll try, I think.
Oh man, I think Allie's mind was just blown with what Krasny shared.
I do miss raiding every once in a while.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about working together, especially if it's with a group of friends, to achieve that goal of beating that boss and beating that raid. Like, it's definitely...
Oh, yeah. Like,
there's something special about it.
That's one of the feelings I miss about raiding, because I raided from end of Legion, and then I raided all of... Well, end of 1, then all of Legion, and then I stopped. So, yeah, I miss that feeling of, like, working together towards a goal, all the other stuff. But I get some of that when I'm running stuff with my guild. Because I've actually run stuff with them now. I got some Mythic Pluses done during the holidays.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I finally finished that stupid quest in Siege.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've got that out of the way. I finished that storyline finally.
I thought it was a good storyline.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. And that payoff at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Worth it. Of course, you know, like anybody who... If you didn't finish that storyline, they've been thoroughly spoiled by just doing anything in 8-1.
Right.
I've done nothing in 8-1, so I'm good.
I know you're spoiled about one thing, though.
I've been spoiled about way more than I want to be spoiled by, and I'm really not happy about it.
I think you got spoiled by BlizzCon merch, right?
Yes. And I was spoiled again by an article or something. Because there was stuff in the description of the shawl, the Jaina shawl.
Yeah.
And then there was an article that mentioned the parentage of a character that I was not yet aware of because I didn't do dungeons because time and life and stuff.
Yeah.
Dungeons are good. I like dungeons. Did you know that?
I'd heard that rumor.
I don't believe you.
Like that
doesn't sound like, this doesn't sound like something you'd enjoy, Ellie.
and I totally don't believe you're at all interested in story.
Yeah.
Or, you know, fables or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I did a bunch of stuff in WoW, but I think that was just, like, I had a lot of time off between being sick and the holidays. So I just had fun doing a little bit of everything. It was good.
It was good. And how's your holidays been? What you been doing Me, I guess.
You, yes.
Yes.
No one was asking it, so I figured I'd...
Hey, Medros, you know. How were your holidays?
Not bad. I did a bit of leveling on a variety of characters. I got my druid up to 116. Doing mostly invasions. Doing a little bit of questing here and there, but mostly invasions and herb gathering. So my hope, and we'll see how the week fares out, my hope is by the time the next world quest weekly thing hits up, that character will be level 120, so that they can do that. My alliance monk's up to 113, my death knight's up to 112, Draenei Paladin, non-Ledgeforge Paladin, is up to 113, and my Gilnean Druid is up to 112. That's pretty much all it is for leveling. But I did do a fair bit of invasions and world quests and doing as much as I could, try and get as much as I could for gear for my characters to try and power them up. My Demon Hunter is, I think, been the most fortunate, because definitely not skill. he's gotten one 390 piece of Azurite gear. Let's see, what else did he get? Yeah, he's got two 390 pieces of Azurite gear, which are his fortunate pieces. But he's got a 330 ring still, and a 340 ring, so those need to get upgrades soon. And it's been really a real struggle, but I finally got two war graves I can equip for him. However, one's a 340, and I have a 365 axe that's better, so that's what I'm currently using. But the goal is to eventually have two high-level warglaives so that I can stop feeling like I'm a liar on him, because I don't like that his stuff is transmogged. It really annoys me. He hasn't gotten anything really for upgrades in the last couple of days, at least. I mentioned this on Twitter a little bit and in Discord. My hunter, I complained previously that he was... Basically being trolled. And Tosi, I mentioned this to you, that I definitely understood how you were feeling getting weapons for a spec you don't play on your warrior frequently.
Just play survival. Just play survival. It's fine.
No. No. 2 days in a row, I got 370 pole arms for him. And that really was frustrating me. And then I guess I ranted to the right deity at some point in that whole time, because now the last four assaults he's done, he's gotten proper hunter gear for his weapon slot, and is currently running a 380 7th Legionnaire's hand cannon. Not sure what I want to actually have for his weapon, because I do have the longbow as well for that, so I don't know if I'll transmog that or not. I don't know if there's a 7th Legionnaire's crossbow. That's really what I'd prefer. But that harkens back to my love of Demon Hunter in D3 and the crossbow there. So
which deity did you curse to? Asking for me?
No, not for a friend, for yourself. Okay. I don't recall. But if I do, I'll be sure to pass that along to you.
Thank you.
But he also has some stuff that needs to be upgraded. My Hunter is now 369 eye level. After being stuck in, like, 360-ish for a long time. He got some really nice upgrades, though, so that was good. Yeah, the druid is going to be the next one. I've gotten several paragon turn-ins across my demon hunter and my main. However, none of them have really panned out very much. I think I got one pet, which was from, I think, Order of Embers. It was a raven, I believe, which feels about right for that zone. Ironically, people have said that Tortolan is A, the hardest to get, and B, the most rewarding, because it has awesome stuff.
Yes.
I did a Tortolan Paragon, and I got pretty much the same as I got every other time for every other Paragon. I got some more resources, I got some gold, and I got some combinations. My Hunter is still working on a lot of the reps. He only has 7th Legion is exalted. My main has all of them exalted, and my Demon Hunter has two that are not exalted. He has Primary Admiralty and Tortolan that he has to still level up. So, slowly but surely working on that and building up the gold. Need to recover from buying some tokens when they release pets and stuff. So, Damn Blizzard. But yeah, other than that, I didn't do a lot. Just doing the basic stuff, trying to level my characters as best I can. And if I have time, I try and take one or two non-maxed out characters through an assault when they're up. I was a little frustrated. I was probably about 5 minutes from finishing the assault on my hunter today when it finished. The assault today was over in Zaldazar. I was literally clicking the button to start the ritual to become a Void Devil Sore when the NPCs vanished on me, basically. So,
oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, I was thoroughly unhappy about that, but the best thing would have happened would be that he would have gotten another upgrade. Worst thing, he would have gotten another hand cannon or something. And unfortunately, I figured out that it's not that easy to get gear outside of questing and doing dungeon stuff, because like the Titan Residuum, you need so much of it to get anything decent that it's nearly impossible, I feel like.
Well, I mean, I think that's geared more towards the people who are pushing that content where they need to chase a specific item.
Yeah, but I'd like to have that stuff. I'd like to be able to have enough that I could actually buy a 370 piece on a character that doesn't already have 370 and everything, which is pretty much nobody. So at this point, like, I'll pretty much be going through each one and can you do that until I can buy an upgrade. We shall see, though. Our new sponsor is Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you've definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes to Diablo, and even more from outside of Blizzard universe like Star Wars, Doctor Who, and Sherlock. I like to highlight a Funko Pop each week. Right now, they've got some really interesting ones on their store right now from some of the new titles that they have coming out. They have a Pop Monsters series that they're developing, and there's some really, really interesting looking ones. And I will be honest, I struggled to try and figure out what I want to do here, because they all look a little weird, but I think they're supposed to. The one that I wanted to go with was, I think, is the cutest looking one of them, and that is Angus Knucklebar. I don't know the source of this character, but I think it looks cute. What do you guys think?
It looks like a demon beaver.
Yeah, like a purplish, fluffy demon. It looks a little evil. Yeah,
It's probably the horns.
Yeah, the horns. I keep looking at the teeth for some reason. I want to know where this character is from. I'm not cool enough to know this.
See, I see a character like that, I immediately think of Happy Tree Friends. Noah? No one?
I don't know what that is. No, sorry.
I'm putting something in the adult channel. Hold on.
Honestly, I don't know that this actually is from any specific franchise. It's just in their Pop Monsters and something about Whitmore Forest, but I don't know what that is. Oh, it's like a kids show, I guess. I just thought it was really cool when I was searching around the store earlier for a Funko for today. They do have lots of different things. Ones we've talked about in the past. They have several Fantastic Beasts ones. For those who may be into that type of universe. Not like I know anybody who's into that or anything.
What? Who would be into that?
I don't know. Sounds crazy to me. Honestly, that was what I thought your music box was going to do. I was pretty sure it was going to be that. So this is one of the ones they have from Fantastic Beasts that I think is pretty neat.
That's cool.
It's a flopper?
Fooper, yeah. I don't know exactly what it's supposed to do, but
it foops because it's a fooper.
Yeah.
The fooper song will drive anyone who hears it insane, requiring domesticated foopers to be subjected to a monthly silencing charm.
See?
Okay.
He foops.
It foops. Yeah, okay.
Alright then. If you want to check out this Funko or many others, go to bit.ly/FunkoATA2019. Check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% on your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA2019 and use Shop10 to save 10%. And we want to thank Funko for their support of the show. All right, so what's coming up this week?
This month? We got a whole month ahead of us still.
All right, then.
So currently, Dark Moon Fair, January 6th through the 12th. So anyone who's leveling alts, if you're going for that Paragon rep, go get your buff. It helps so much. Plus, they fix the profession quests. So go check it out. PvP Brawl, Warsong Scramble, from January 8th through the 14th, Arena Skirmish bonus event, the 8th through the 14th as well. World Quonus, wow, it's been 2 weeks. World Quest bonus event, January 15th through the 21st. Call of the Scarab, January 21st through the 23rd, that mini holiday event. The Battle of Dazar'alor launches January 22nd, which we'll talk about in a little bit. The new PvP brawl, Cooking Impossible, will be the 22nd through the 29th. Check it out. Lunar Festival starts on the 28th. And the Battle of Dazar'alor, LF Wing 1, and Mythic will come out January 29th. And that week will be Battleground bonus event from the 29th through the 4th. And then the Karen Torg Tavern Crawl, January 31st.
Cool. Well, I'm going to mark on the calendar January 22nd. Because by the sounds of it, that brawl is a lot of fun.
It's fun. It's interesting. I've only done one. It's definitely, it's a matter of finding that balance between if you go collect the ingredients to make whatever your chef's making, or if you stop the horde from collecting theirs. And it's like, find that balance. It's really interesting. And I'm going to be more excited to do it as more people understand strategy and stuff for it. But it was pretty cool.
If someone doesn't start that battleground off by slash Y-ing a la cuisine, then I'll be really disappointed. Just throwing that out there. And if nobody does it, I'm going to do it.
You totally should do it.
All right, well, let's talk about some news. Because believe it or not, a bunch of stuff happened over the holidays. Well, not a bunch, but big stuff.
Stuff happened.
There were some happenings.
Actually, before we do that, I want to talk a little bit something that I realized I should have done before the month in WoW. So I saw this posted online, and I wanted to mention it for our listeners. Former co-host of the show, Shade, posted a GoFundMe in the last few days, asking for a little help trying to recover from the loss of her father and all the costs related to that, and all the stuff that comes along with that happening in one's life. So I made a bit.ly link for that. If you want to consider helping out Shade, I know a lot of you who are listeners of the show were part of the show back when she was co-hosting the show. And I wanted to make sure that in case you don't follow her on Twitter or didn't see it anywhere else, that you check it out. And that is bit.ly/help-shade. So, yeah, if you can, definitely check it out and support Shade if you can. But let's move on to our first news topic, shall we? I don't mean to harp on this overly long, but I do feel that this is a topic that does impact a lot of us. We had a lot of articles last year, which always sounds weird to say in the early part of the year, about issues at Blizzard with the finance department having a lot more say and impacting on game production and staffing levels. There was an article late last year, it was right around our last episode of the year, and it was basically a Eurogamer article talking about the voluntary departure program that Blizzard has offered to some departments. They recently offered it again to the staff at the Cork office, which is in Ireland, and apparently over 100 staff voluntarily chose to leave the company, and one person was quoted as basically saying that they were offered basically a year's wage to leave the company, and folks in Europe have commented repeatedly that it really feels like service levels for customer service have decreased, and staff seem to be a lot more stressed, which would make sense when you lose 100% of your staff. I don't know how many staff they have there, but that's a lot of staff to lose at one point. There was even a tweet at one point basically saying that their customer support lines would be closed from 5 p.m. on that day, whereas they were 24/7 before. So this has definitely led people to further wonder what's going on at Blizzard, what is happening with Blizzard's business and the impact that it has with the departure of Mike Morhaime, with J. Allen Brack taking over, and with the report of a lot of problems at the company that we all love. Alongside this, I remember there was an article about the new CFO that had come over from Activision into Blizzard having a lot more impact on the company. And it was also recently reported by Wowhead just a few days ago that not only is that CFO, and I'm going to try to pronounce the name, Amrita Ahuja, they have left Blizzard as CFO to become CFO of Square Inc. But the CFO of Activision Blizzard, Spencer Neumann, has left the company and went to Netflix. So there is a lot of changeover in that area of Blizzard, Activision itself. Not as a lot is known of how this might impact on Blizzard, and it's previously encouraged, for lack of a better way of describing it, you know, changes in how they're doing their business. What do you guys think of these changes and their potential impact on the company?
I just want to make a small correction to the Amrita Ahuja part bit. Apparently, Amrita is going to be CFO of both companies, which I didn't realize could be a thing.
That is interesting. I did not know that either.
That was in one article that I read about it. That's confusing.
Yes, that is definitely very confusing.
I didn't realize that could be a thing, but, you know, there it is. The fact that CFOs are changing around, I mean, given the less than ideal news recently, like, some people, they obviously, you know, someone decided that there was going to be a change. But from what I understand, and just based on the reading, like, what I've been reading about, like, what I've read about this, Spencer Neumann was put on leave for a little bit, and then they had announced that they were going to be firing him, presumably because he was looking at other work.
Yes, it was unclear in stuff I read whether or not his departure or his firing was due to that. But the only thing I saw that was stated as a statement from Blizzard was that his departure was not due to the recent financial results.
Okay. But I guess, this might work out. I don't know. We're very well versed on how decisions like this are made and all that other stuff, so I can't think of a comment for that. But I mean, it's interesting to see, like, one CFO leaving, another one taking on an additional role as a CFO for a different company. That's weird.
It's hard to speak to it too much without really knowing all the nitty-gritty details behind it.
Yeah.
Either way, the timing of it is rough. Kind of adds more fuel to the fire of OMG, Blizzard's dying. Even though this is, it's Blizzard Activision. You know, that whole Activision part of it. But it's, from a very outside perspective, it makes people wonder even more what's going on behind the scenes. I think more and more people are starting to worry about it and question, you know, is Blizzard dying? Blah, 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 blah. It's not dying. It happens with businesses all the time where CFOs change and leave. And yes, unfortunately, sometimes employees get cut, that kind of thing. But it just, the timing of it, it's just a little rough. And I think PR is going to have to work a little bit harder to kind of keep things positive and the outlook on Blizzard Activision positive.
Yeah.
The article that I had read at some point previously was apparently this Wowhead article, and apparently there was a correction made to it regarding Amrita.
Mm-hmm.
So originally the article read that Amrita would remain CFO for both Blizzard and Square.
Yeah.
That is not the case.
Okay.
Amrita is just going to be CFO for Square.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, now I'm less confused about someone. They did make a comment on it. It's just in the comments. It should have been in the
body. Yeah, it should be article. It should be in the body article. Yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, my concern is more with, I was offered a certain amount of money to leave my most recent job, and I chose not to. If I had been offered a year's salary, I might have given a different answer to that question. Because that's a lot of money for anybody, whereas what I was offered was not as much money. But to me, like, the comments from Blizzard and the official statement from Blizzard regarding this voluntary departure program, I feel like it's kind of disingenuous, because it basically suggests or says that it's a voluntary program, nobody's told they have to take it, which that may be truly and factually the case. However, if you see that your department has been offered this multiple times and the money keeps getting better each time you're offered it, it does seem a little silly not to accept it, because that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
If I was offered it, I'd probably take it too, honestly.
That's what just happened with my mom.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was related to post merger and all that other stuff that happened with MTS here in Manitoba. But like, Blizzard's not going anywhere, but yet they're offering their employees a year's salary to leave, which makes it harder for the current staff, increases the workload, and makes your staff wary about what's happening. I hope that we aren't seeing the beginning of something that is going to be really bad, but I can't say that I will be surprised if I read a story in, you know, whatever period of time saying that Blizzard is being folded into Activision Blizzard, and Activision's president and CEO Bobby Kotick will be overseeing everything, and basically a complete shift away from the organization from what it was when we originally heard about the acquisition by Activision and the merger with Blizzard when Vivendi sold that division of their company. I hope it's wrong. I hope that things can turn around and that everybody can be very happy and that we all happy family. But I have my doubts, to be honest. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, for sure.
Yeah. Alrighty. Let's talk about the upcoming raid.
I'm so excited about it. Oh my god. So,
I never could have guessed.
Well, they did such a great job with Old Deer, and it was a little more unique with some of the mechanics and balls, lots of balls. But on the 22nd, the Battle of Dazar'alor is coming out. It's awesome. The little story to introduce it says, "For ages untold, Dazar'alor has stood at the center of the great and powerful Zandalari Empire. Its guards have thwarted numerous attempts on King Rostikon's life, and it has endured trials both ancient and new. But as war reaches the shores of Zoldazar, the Alliance embarks on a daring gambit to besiege the Golden Pyramid and sever the Zandalari's bond to the Horde." The story behind it is really cool. The whole thing is going to be a little more unique for a raid. So it will have the typical, you know, normal and heroic will come out on the 22nd. The next week will be Mythic and Raid Finder Wing 1. And then the following 2 weeks, February 12th and February 26th, will have Raid Finder Wing 2 and 3. So that's normal. The Raid Finder minimum item level will be 350, which for some may seem a little high, but given, you know, what's dropping in invasions and Warfronts and all that, it's easy to get 350, so I think that's fair enough. The raid itself is really cool in that it comes out in three... Well, that doesn't come out. There's three acts to it, basically. So in Act 1, Horde players... So this is just for the Horde side. Horde players defend the invasion of Dazar'alor, like the jungle around it. And then they're going to be able to experience the Alliance side of things for the middle act. And this is going to happen by them turning into Alliance... Like, you talk to an NPC and you basically turn into an Alliance character. Kind of like how you do in Caverns of Time. So Blood Elves get turned into humans, Goblins get turned into gnomes, that kind of thing. And then they basically fight the same bosses that the Alliance is going to fight. So, no, doesn't go like that. That's silly. Actually, yes. So what's going to happen is they will see how the Alliance attacks King Rostakon. And they'll be doing the fight, but they'll be doing it as Alliance players. And then for the third act, they're going to go back to being Horde. And they're going to go after King High Tinker Mechatork and Jaina. But on the flip side, the Alliance will also have a three-act raid. Same kind of concept. So they'll start with attacking the docks of Dazar'alor and pushing their way into the middle. And then they'll do the part where they actually attack King Rostakon and that kind of thing. And then at the end, they'll switch over to Horde-type players and be able to do the Mechatork and Jaina fight. So it's cool in that both sides will get to see what the other side is doing. So everyone kind of gets that. But the whole switching factions and everything to do that is completely new and different. And I'm really excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I get to be a Draenei. I get to be a Torn Warrior again. So I'm a Draenei Warrior right now.
I'm going to get to be a troll. I'm okay with that.
I get to be in Borealis Harbor.
You can go to Raid Finder.
Yeah, you can become undead.
I think it's going to be really fun, though. It's
pass.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Medros, you won't be undead because you're a paladin, so you'll become a blood elf.
Pass. I'm not a pretty boy.
I can't think of a joke for that.
I feel like anything I would say would be too mean, so I'm going to move on. But
I think I'm the one who said it, so
I don't want to be kicked off the show. I'm just interim. Come on. So I think this is really cool because it's, you know, Blizzard found a way to give the Alliance a special storyline and give the raid, the Horde, a special storyline in the raid, but still find that balance with letting both sides see it. So I think that's really cool, and I'm excited.
Sorry, Pandaren, you're not going to change at all. You will stay a Pandaren. You don't get to transform.
That's true.
Gnomes are going to turn into goblins, Frasley.
Well, yeah.
Unless you're a monk. Then you become a blood elf.
I find it interesting that night elves are going to become trolls.
I mean, night elves were trolls.
Yes, I know this. Demon hunters will become blood elves.
That makes sense.
On one hand, yes, it makes sense because they were at one point way down the line, they were trolls. But at the same time, like night elf and blood elf is just like a natural transition, kind of like gnome and goblin. So
I don't know. I mean, I look at all the translations, and for me, they kind of make sense. Like, I know when
most of the other ones do.
When I first started playing, I definitely did the whole okay, this race is for this race, etc., etc., etc. I don't think I associated night elves with trolls before. I think for me, whenever I played and like when back then, anyway. I always assumed like the opposite faction for a night elf would be a tauren, but I think that's just because they were both the druid races.
I think it's funny because everything that's like an odd class spec combination is just gonna be a blood elf. Like gnome monks, blood elves. Human paladins, blood elves. Night elf demon hunters, blood elves. Just the only thing people that are blood elves are like these kind of more rare. Not rare, but slightly different combinations.
I kind of wish that they just made it so that each race would turn into a specific thing, just because I think it would be funny to see different combinations.
Yeah?
Like the Tauren, if Night Elves turned into Tauren, like, then you could have a Tauren Demon Hunter and that would look hilarious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, I guess all these make sense. Doesn't stop me from wanting something different, though. Nope. See my item level.
So, of course, this will come with a whole bunch of new achievements. You know, the typical beating of bosses, plus the fun ones. Like, for example, Snow Fun Allowed. Build a frosty snowmon, then destroy it before defeating Jaina in the fight on normal or higher. Just, you know, it's those fun kind of achievements. And it seems like it's going to be a really story-driven raid. So I think it's going to be awesome, and I can't wait.
Oh, man, some of these achievements sound interesting. I can't wait to see this raid. It sounds like a lot of fun. Plus, we get to fight a treasure mental.
That sounds interesting.
A treasure mental?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. It's a gigantic elemental-type thing slamming down on you with a bunch of gold.
As long as they keep the gold.
Hmm?
I'm good. As long as they keep the gold, I'm fine with that.
Okay, ready for this one? So we get to fish up another boss.
Yeah, I saw that.
And the achievement is named De Lurker Beloa. You have to fish up De Lurker Beloa, then defeat the Stormwall blockade in normal difficulty or higher. That's awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be good.
You know what else is good? Some of the Winterville gifts we got.
Oh, man, Steve. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
So, there was a Hearthstone that we got?
Yeah, there is.
I must have missed that.
How did you miss that?
I don't know, because for some reason, every year at Wintervale, I open all the gifts, even though I know I'm just looking for the one from the current year, because I probably still have the old gifts, like the old consumables,
right, like,
in my bank anyway.
Like, that mechanical Grinch, you know, that was there. That's normal.
Yeah, we get it every year. I keep it in my bank, but I pick it up anyway because I know I'm... I don't know. I see an exclamation mark, I complete a quest. I'm a simple man that way. So, you get Grandfather Winter's Hearthstone, which is a toy, but it returns you, you know, it acts like a Hearthstone, but you get all, like, snow globy.
And dance.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
And you have a Santa hat on. Sorry, a Grandfather Winter hat.
Oh, I just assumed that was, like, what they were wearing, like, transmog.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
So I had a guildie manage, and I have to test this and see if it actually works. So I had a guildie use that potion we got in Warlords that makes you naked for 10 minutes. And then he used this Hearthstone to get the Santa hat on, but then canceled it out. And for some reason, the Santa hat stayed on. So he was naked with a Santa hat. It was good times.
I love it. That's amazing. We also got toy armor sets, one for the Alliance and one for the Horde. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's little toy sets. So it's got, what, a 60-minute cooldown? Apparently that cooldown is reduced during the Feast of Wintervale. But it's just little bucket helmets for the Alliance with a very kiddish-looking cape. For the Horde, it's part of a bucket. Not a whole bucket. Part of one. and again, like a little kiddified Horde cape. That's kind of cool, actually. So yeah, you could have gotten those in addition to all the usual stuff from underneath the Wintervale tree. I'm gonna use that Winter's Hearthstone now, because like I didn't realize I got it.
It's pretty cool.
I'm sure it's in my bag. I just haven't noticed it. I mean, there's other stuff to get within WoW. You know, we got our Winterfell gifts, but this thing you can do pretty much any time of the year, assuming you've got the right setup, right, Metros?
Yeah. So this is the blood-soaked tome, right?
Right.
This apparently was supposed to have been done a bit differently. This is the tome that gives you the ability to, as a hunter, tame blood beasts. The original intention was to require defeating Heroic Zal with a raid of only hunters. However, there was a bug that caused it to be granted to a few hunters through unintentional means. And in the spirit of fairness, they made a drop from any normal or higher kill of Zul. And this allows you to get they're called Krogs or Krags, as well as Blood Spiders. I, for one, have absolutely no interest in this, because I don't think either of those pets are very interesting to me. But I know it is just me.
Do you watch Stranger Things?
No.
See, the Krogs look like Dart from Stranger Things, and...
Oh my god, he does!
Right? So, my hunter is a Void Elf that's level 20-something. I haven't leveled up yet, but wow, I want that too. We went on Saturday and did normal deer just for some alts and that kind of thing to chill out, and two of the hunters got this pet and, like, or got the ability to do this, the Blood-Soaked Tome, and it's just... I can't wait for them to go get their pets because it's so exciting. Except they weren't excited. They were like, oh, okay. And I was just over here being like a Stranger Things like geek, just like so excited because Tart.
So wait, I'm confused. So, is it just dropping for anyone, like regardless of group composition?
Yes.
Oh, I misunderstood the correction. See, I thought they had. I thought, based on that tweet, that the original intention was defeating Heroic Zul with a raid of only hunters. I thought correct. That they changed it so that you could do it on either normal or heroic, but still have to have a raid of all hunters.
Okay. No, because it had dropped for some hunters unintentionally that were not part of that. So they decided that to make it fair to everybody, they would just open that to everybody.
All right, okay.
I totally get that why they want to do this and the purpose of this. But it just, to me, it feels like it's not something that I want to have on my hunter. I'm weird though, so you know.
We knew that. It's okay. We still like you.
Good. I was worried.
I mean, I'm still going to judge you for your irrational hate of Drustvar, of the obvious best zone in BFA. But you know, whatever.
Uh huh.
All right, so we're going to take a step outside of WoW for a minute to talk about some shop items. Now, it's not what you think. They didn't introduce a bunch of new shop items over the holidays. In fact, they're doing the opposite. And as of yesterday being January 6th, these items are no longer available in the Blizzard store. So, Little XT, the Snarian Hatchling, the Moonkin Hatchling, the Grinning Reaver, the Armored Bloodwing, the Swift Windsteed, and all of the Transmog Helms are being retired from the Blizzard store. Now that doesn't affect me, because I had all but three of those items. I do not have the helms. I had no intention of getting those helms. But like, I don't understand this decision at all. Outside of okay. So this happened while we were taking our holiday break. But with the announcement that those pets were being retired, they created a bundle on the store called the See You Later Bundle, which is just, you know, raising the hype for all these items for people to buy them. Like, it feels a little skeezy because A, it's a digital item. Why do you feel the need to retire it? Why did you retire those specific ones, especially when you have the Celestial Steed? The oldest shop mount, the original shop mount that is still available. Yeah, and then they go and put a bundle on the store to get all these items and, you know, drive the hype for that up. I know why they're doing that, because, you know, end of fourth quarter, get all the money you can. I understand that, but, like, it feels skeezy. And I am not a fan of this. I never would have bought the helms, because that's just something I had no interest in. I didn't like them. But the fact that, like, they're retiring these items, and like, oh no, get it before it's too late. I have other words I want to use, but skeezy is the only one I can use on this show.
See, here's the thing. I see this similar to what Blizzard, or what Disney does. They put their movies in a vault for X number of years. So that they're no longer available for release, you can no longer purchase them, you must basically wait until they're re-released. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree personally with what you're saying, but I do know that this is something that is not uncommon.
Oh yeah, and it's crappy every time somebody does it. Like, congratulations, all you're doing is artificially driving demand for these things because it's suddenly not available anymore. Give me a freaking break. Ridiculous. Artificially affecting the supply of something is just always that drives me nuts.
I completely understand that. And I don't disagree with you. But it's fairly common, I think, so.
Yep. Just because it's fairly common doesn't make it right. And I realize you said that. I don't like this.
Devil's advocate here. What if these were the things on the shop that were selling the least amount. You know, not a whole lot of people want those helms or excited about those helms. You know, not too many people are excited about those particular mounts. So the pets are pretty cool, I'm not gonna lie. But I'm wondering if, in order to kind of declutter the shop a bit, they wanted to retire them for a while, since there's no interest in them. I'm agreeing with you. It doesn't feel that great, but I think the main reason it doesn't feel that great is because of everything else going on in the news right now
with
Blizzard Activision. So yeah, like, it doesn't feel great, and it feels like a bit of a money grab, but at the same time, like, is it just because of everything else going on in the news that we feel that? Or does it really just legitimately feel like a general money grab?
I mean, when I first saw the See You Later, I honestly didn't even think about the other stuff that's going on in the news. For me, it was just like, oh, trying to grab our money before the end of the quarter. Because the sale ended before the end of the quarter. And all these items were retired on the 6th. Just after the quarter ended. Like, God.
Well, I mean, if we consider the... Okay, let me present another way of thinking about this. It was stated that Activision Blizzard had poor sales last quarter. So if we have two choices, choice one being the end of Blizzard, or this, trying to find extra cash however they can, what would you prefer?
I mean, obviously I'd like Blizzard to continue, but I mean, there's other ways to, you know,
I totally understand what you're saying. Just sometimes you have to consider other aspects, such as maybe there's a very good reason why they need to do this. It sucks. We definitely don't want this to be happening, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do in the business side of things.
Frazzly makes an interesting point here, just further playing devil's advocate on the whole thing. I mean, there's such a thing as like choice paralysis, where there's so many things there that you can't decide what you want to buy, so you just don't buy anything.
See, I find it better to buy things when they get as soon as they hit, so you don't have that problem.
Yeah, I've personally never run into that problem. When I have a choice of things that I want to buy and I have the means to buy it, I will just, if I can't decide which ones I want to buy, I will just roll a die to determine what I buy. But
20-sided or 10-sided?
Depends on how many options are available.
All right.
Yeah, I realize that choice paralysis is a thing that people experience, and you know, they may not buy a thing, but like, I don't know. In my mind, there's never a reason to remove a digital item from a store, for especially if it's still available and still works within the game. I can understand if the purpose for that thing is no longer being, like, it can no longer serve that purpose. But I mean, the kind of stuff that Blizzard sells on their store, that doesn't come up. It's pets, it's mounts, it's transmog. We still have pets in the game, we still have transmog in the game, we still have mounts in the game. I don't think there was a reason to do it. A good reason anyway, outside of, you know, driving the sales. Because, like, oh, I need to get all the things. And people were putting off the decision to buy those things because, like, it's always there. And that one's not going to be, so I'm going to buy it now.
Fair enough.
Just out of curiosity, for anybody who... did you guys see the bundle up when it came up? Or is that the first time you're seeing this little thing?
I saw it. And
I saw it advertised.
How much of a discount were you getting on that bundle?
A significant discount.
Because I think after all said and done, I was going to pay $20 for the bundle.
I think I was like, for it. Around the same, $20-$25.
Yeah.
To be honest,
I had most of it already.
Yeah.
I bought the bundle, and I know that might I know, right? Controversial.
It's a shame.
But
a
legitimately the. There was legitimately a mount I wanted, and there were legitimately a couple pets I wanted, and I just... The sale was good.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to hate on anybody for buying this, because, hey, it has stuff you wanted. You may have had reasons for not buying all those stuff before, and now you want to have it now because it's going to be gone. I'm not going to fault anybody for buying it. I'm faulting Blizzard for doing this in the first place.
And see, for me, it wasn't so much that they were going to be gone. I mean, if the price was wrong and they were going to be gone, like, I would have lived without it. It's fine. It was just the fact that they were on sale. Like, I saw that there was a sale, and I had some Blizzard money to spend that was gifted to me, plus, you know, a little more money. And I was like, oh, a sale on pets and mounts. I should get, like, something. Because I want to. And that's when I saw that, and it was a good deal. So I did it.
That's fair. I hope this doesn't become a regular thing. Although, like, the fact that they've done it already tells me that they're no longer afraid to do this kind of thing. Because, you know, Blizzard, for however high we think of them, once we tell them that it's okay to do a thing, they're going to keep doing it.
But ultimately, they are still a business. And they're a business that's currently struggling, and so they have to do things.
Oh, yeah, I get that. But, like, we've told them it's okay to price loot boxes in Overwatch the way they're priced, and we told them it was okay to price stuff in Heroes the way it was priced, because we can't, you know, we complained about it for a little bit, but then we still ended up spending money on that stuff because we wanted it. So they're like, okay, well, it's all right for us to do it, so we're gonna keep doing it that way because the complaints will only last so long. But still, I love you, Blizz. I mean, obviously, but I'm not loving the things you're doing right now. Not loving some of the things you're doing.
You know what I love? You know what I love?
What's that?
Wrath, because it was one of the best expansions. Well, Legion was awesome, too. It was
my first expansion.
Yeah, it was my second, and I loved Wrath, and going through the, not Wrathion Frosley, calm yourself. During Wrath, we saw the Wrathgate. One of the great things about being a Blizzard fan and part of this community is that there are some amazing content creators out there. And we have a name I'm going to mess up. Yvonne Kuzkin has made a phenomenal Wrathgate cinematic remastered. It's very well done. I'm really pleased and impressed by it. It makes me want to go through Wrathgate all again, but I already wanted that anyways. But it's fantastic, and it's just under 5 minutes long. Everyone should check it out. It'll be in the show notes, and we can link it in the Discord so people can watch it now. Like, well, that.
Not now, after the show.
Well, not now, yeah. But it's...
you beat me to it.
Ha! I'm getting good at this stuff, man. But it's really good, and it's just so impressive what people in this community can do with their creativity. It's awesome. Love it. Have you two watched this?
Oh, yeah. The minute that I saw it, I watched it. Wrathgate was the first cinematic that I watched in WoW, like, as I played through it. So I have fond memories of it, and it was just like, holy, that happened moment. Oh, wow. Seeing it remastered with the new models and everything.
Yeah, it's really it just cool. Looks
really. Just. Seeing Bolvar and everybody else have actual emotion on their face was great, because the amount of emotion they showed previously was not high.
I kind of got chills during parts of it. It was just so good. So good.
It got me so hyped. I wanted to do Wrathkin again. I wanted to do Battle for Undercity again, except I can't. Blizz, let me do Battle of Undercity again, please. But it's so good. The fire doesn't look janky.
Yeah, it looks
remember that
really
janky
good.
Fire we had in Wrath? Oh, no more.
Yeah, this is impressive. Did you get a chance to watch it, Medros?
I unfortunately did not. I saw it 5 times, and it was like, I gotta watch that. And then forgot.
Well, you can go watch it after the show.
I will. Fine, I will then.
Okay, all right.
After the show, though, because, like, we've got other stuff to talk about.
Oh, I thought we were done.
No, we've got at least another thing.
Oh, okay.
That's you, Medros.
That was your cue to talk about the other
I know.
Thing.
I know. You didn't lead me into it, so... All right,
what do you mean
so,
I didn't lead you into it? That was me leading you into it.
Fine. Give you a 3 out of 5 on that one. All right, so, I would have led into... You know what I loved about Wrathgate was the story. And speaking of story, totally not needed for the show.
Moment's gone now. Moment's gone.
All right. Blizzard announced that they are going to be doing a live stream with Taryn Gregory and Steve Denuser and talking a little bit about story and lore in World of Warcraft. This is happening on Thursday, January 10th. So maybe before this is released, depending on how well I edit. But definitely check it out. It can be good, I hope.
I'm so excited.
Anything to see more Taryn.
Right? Taryn's phenomenal.
Well, he is the cinematic project director. I was kind of concerned when I saw this announcement that there's does not seem to be anybody that's like in the creative development department, because I don't see cinematics as being in the same side of things. But I'm very curious to see how this is going to go, what they're going to talk about. It's not a Q&A, so I assume it's just more talking about the story and lore developed through cinematics. But we'll see what happens. And I'm sure we'll talk about this significantly on the next episode. What are you guys looking forward to seeing out of this?
Everything.
I'm just looking forward to seeing Taryn geek out. Yes. About all the stuff that they've been working on. Because, like, if you haven't gone to BlizzCon, like, running into Taryn and talking to him about some of that stuff, like, that guy geeks out hard about all the stuff that he gets to work on, and it's one of my favorite parts about BlizzCon, just talking to him and like him asking our reactions and him reacting to our reactions. It's freaking fantastic.
I've watched him stream, and I think at that time he was playing Skyrim. Mm-hmm. And just listening to him just kicking back and playing this game. And when, you know, the chat would get excited about something, like, he would respond to us and, you know, back and forth. And too, like, I unfortunately have not been to BlizzCon yet, so I haven't met him yet or anything. But just watching him stream, like, he is genuine and he is truly a geek. And I love his work in Blizzard. So I'm super excited about this. Plus, just I love the lore in general. So I just plan to devour every minute of this thing.
Interesting point about this thing, about this live stream. It's not positioned as a Q&A, but in the announcement, they're like, let us know in the comments below what story or lore discussion you'd like to hear. So they're looking for discussion prompts, at the very least.
Right. Which isn't, that's, I think that's good. It's probably less stressful to handle it that way than a Q&A. Because a Q&A, I feel, especially with lore, may open itself up to too many discussions on this one random loose end that happened two expansions ago.
Right.
You know, whereas, you know, that might distract from the meat of the lore that's going on right now. And there's a lot of story coming up the rest of this expansion. So it's going to be good.
Oh, there's one good one here from someone on Area Peak. I'll just read this out real quick because I just really like this one. The Alliance is often perceived as the quote-unquote boring faction, and it's been mentioned by some devs that the Alliance is harder to write interesting stories for. To this I ask, why are the potential points of conflicts always immediately resolved? The House of Nobles that caused the whole Defiant situation has never been completely dealt with and could easily undermine or hamstring Anduin's rule. And it goes on to ask the war questions, but that's kind of cool. I like that. I like that line of thinking. I mean, I don't expect it to be an overarching story by any means, but like, yeah, I mean, a lot of the story, well, not a lot of the story, a good chunk of story is just like focusing on that conflict, and there's other smaller things that will, on the Alliance Horde conflict, sorry, there's a lot of other smaller things that I'd like to see happening just by, like, you know, little zone quests or whatever. I like that question. I like that discussion point. Please talk about that, Taryn. I don't know if you're listening, but please talk about that.
I feel like the only thing, well, there's a lot of things I want to know, but the one thing I really desperately need to know, I don't think they'll talk about because it's more of a spoilery, you know, people digging kind of thing, and it involves a certain weapon that Sylvanas is seen holding, a weapon that's sitting in my void bank, so I don't understand why she has my weapon, but
she robbed the bank.
Jerk. So that's, I mean, there's a lot I want to know, but that's like the one like geeky thing that I desperately like need to know, but we'll find out eventually, so I can wait.
Well, hopefully we get answers to that and a few other things on the 10th.
Yeah, we'll definitely report more on that next week. All right, so let's pay another bill.
Today's show is also brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today we're going to go back into the past a little bit and listen to some Lord of the Clans. So yeah, let's have a listen.
It is your spirit, my friend, that has roused us. You cannot continue to put yourself into such jeopardy, said Hellscream. His eyes blazed with what Thrall now knew to be demonic hellfire. I cannot sit safely behind our lines, letting everyone else face the danger while I shirk it, Thrall replied. We are not suggesting that, said Doomhammer. But the tactic we have utilized has now become too dangerous. Humans talk, said Thrall, recalling all the rumors and stories he had heard while training. The human trainees had thought him too stupid to comprehend and had spoken freely in his presence. The thought still rankled, but he had welcomed the knowledge. The orcs in the prisons cannot help but overhear how the other camps have been freed. Even if they do not care to listen, they will know that something is afoot. Even if I am not there physically to tell them of the way of the shaman, we can hope that somehow our message has gotten through. Once the way is clear, let us hope they will find their own paths to freedom.
So once again, that was World of Warcraft, Lord of the Clans. This one was written and narrated by Christy Golden. You can find that and over 200,000 titles over at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show.
So the question from last week was, what do you find under your own Wintervale tree? Spectacular Death said, as someone who started playing during first edition, my just paging through this has been an exercise in, I remember that. Now I've adapted some of my first edition stuff for the current D&D group. And it was the Player's Handbook, right?
Yep.
Okay. For myself, since I have not answered this myself. Let's see. I got a Sphero BB-9E droid. I got a screwdriver set, some clothes, some chocolate. Somebody sent me a Overwatch GameStop gift box that has two Overwatch Christmas skin Funko Pops. It had a Tracer stocking and a Snowball keychain. That's one. Yeah, keychain. They actually sent two. One is for me, and one we're going to give away next week on the anniversary episode.
Woohoo!
But yeah, I also got some Diet Pepsi Wild Cherry, which I love cherry drinks. I think there was some other stuff, but I can't remember at this very moment. Like I said, got some clothes. I enjoyed my Christmas. It was good. Oh, I got slippers too.
And just a slight correction, I misspoke. What Spectacular Death Receive was not a player's handbook. It was a visual history of Dungeons & Dragons called Art and Arcana.
Ah, okay. Good to know. Who's the next question here?
And then a name that I'm going to completely butcher, and they are in Discord right now, so I feel absolutely horrible.
Poikle Sadden.
Thank you, Medros.
You're welcome. And hi, Poikle. Good to see you back.
Peter Alexander PJ's Battle, a Five Nights at Freddy Pop Ella, and a Steam gift card, which is awesome.
And Frasley found clothes, a Harry Potter Tervis, whatever that is, and some cool gadgets.
It's like a travel mug type thing.
Okay. What I found was a Legend of Zelda music box, which I played during the pre-show. It plays the Song of Storms. I also found a bunch of house stuff because I've become that person now, aka an adult. I asked for a blender for Christmas.
Hey, blenders are cool, man. You can do so many things and drinks and stuff.
So I got a new blender, a new toaster, a new shower head, and some sweats, like for around the house. The only, like, quote-unquote fun thing I got was I got two fun things, sorry. I got the Legend of Zelda music box, and I got a sorting hat.
Nice. That's cool.
It talks. But it's only repeating the one line, according to the packaging, it's supposed to, like, randomly sort, but it's only telling me that it has the capability of sorting when I press the button. So something might be wrong there, but like...
Well, do you put it on your head?
Yes, of course I do. Come on. Come on. Who are you asking here?
Just checking.
Got some geeky stuff and some practical stuff. It was a good Christmas. Wintervale. Whatever. So, next week's question is, what boss of Battle of Bizarre Lore are you most excited to face, and why? Oh, that's a tough one.
I'm going to say the treasure thing, because that's the only thing I've seen a picture of.
Mechatork. If only, because that's going to be, like, one of the few times that gnomes are taking front seat. Like, front and center.
Front and center, but low.
He's in a mech, so he'll be pretty high up.
All right. Finally found a way, I guess. Finally found a way.
Out of the Alliance leaders, Mechatork's one of my favorite ones. Like, it's Mechatork and Magni that were my favorite Alliance leaders. So, yeah, it'll be cool to see him up. It'll be cool to see him right up there. What about you, Allie?
Oh, so many things. For starters, yes, I'm excited to see the Mechatork and the Janna fight. I think it'll be interesting to see. And it might feel wrong to be fighting them, I think. So we'll see how that works out. I think the Rostkun fight is going to be really interesting, for sure. From a lore perspective, one of the fights that the Alliance is going to be doing is the Conclave of the Chosen. Basically, it's going to be in a chamber that was built to honor six of Xandalar's greatest Loa. And it's guarded by their followers. So, given various Loa we've met in this expansion, Loa is represented in past expansions as far back as, say, Zul'Gurub. I think that's going to be a really interesting fight, personally.
Do we get to fight the Trash Loa? I keep forgetting the Trash Loa's name.
Johnny?
I think that's right.
Yeah. I always go back and forth over my head of Johnny or Janie, but isn't it like J-A-N-I?
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know. It's going to bug me now.
Yeah. I just don't know if you say it Janie or Johnny, but it's J.
Maybe Yanni.
Maybe Yanni. But it's J-A-N-I.
Right. And, like, it's a Trolloa, so they pronounce their J's, definitely.
Yeah. Either way, I'm intrigued by that one for lore purposes, so I want to see what that one is.
No, Frasley, it's not Laurel. How dare you call back to that stupid thing?
No, the stupid thing was when he was trying to call back to the yes, Papa, sure, that was horrible. Anyways, moving on.
Well, it's going to be hard to move on because I'm pretty sure that that's it for this week.
We're close, yeah. Now for shoutouts. Toasty, how about you? Oh, sorry, Allie, you first, sorry.
Gosh, here I thought I would get a break. You know, it's 2019, a new year. And I would get a break and not have to go first because of course I won't get to do it next week. I didn't plan anything like normal. Is it weird to give shout out to a year? I legitly want to give a shout out to 2019.
And hey, you can shout out whoever you want.
I'm giving a shout out to 2019. I have a good feeling about it. I think good things are going to happen and it's going to be a good year.
All right. Toasty, how are you?
I can't remember if I did this already, but I'm just going to do it again anyway. Shout out to Zeph and Rosenstern because, they kept me company while running a whole bunch of dungeons, just before the holidays. And that was a lot of fun. We played for a long time.
Oh, so that's how you got it. All right.
No, this is before I hit 63.
Ah, okay.
Like, I hit 58 with them. I think it was around 58. Yeah, everything else has been done after the fact. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was like 4 or 5 hours of dungeon running. Just chain running, and it was great. Yeah, what about you, Medros?
I'm going to shout out to Shade. Hopefully some of our listeners can give a consideration to helping her out, and hopefully things can work out. And again, our thoughts on the loss of her father fairly recently. So, all right, let's wrap it up. Actually, no. First, I want to mention, next week is our birthday episode. The show will be, so it's going to be It's going to be a very interesting episode. We'll have some giveaways. We'll have the Overwatch gift box I mentioned earlier that was given, as well as a Ballpoint Familiar that was donated, and maybe some more stuff. We'll see. So you have to be in the chat, listen to the live show at the time, to win anything. So definitely do that.
Sorry, I missed. You kind of mumbled through, like, how old is the show going to be?
Sorry, I'm coughing a little bit here. Sorry.
He's choking upon the emotion of it.
I'm sorry, what was the question again? It doesn't matter. Let's move on.
Dude, no shame. You be proud of it. Own it.
The answer is 14 years. 14. That's a long time. Oh, wait, no. Why am I thinking 14? Where did I get 14 from?
Because it's on the 14th.
God damn it.
12?
12 years.
I win.
Or maybe I just did that to get Bedros to correct me.
Ha-ha. I mean, I'll go with 14 years. That makes me by far the oldest podcast in this game. Yes, it's been a while. Been a year or two.
Or 12.
Or 12, yes. Thanks for that. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
No problem. Let's wrap it up then.
All right. So, if you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATAOL5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com. And if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz. Medros is at Medros. Ali is at AliandrusK. I'm at TwistyPostyCan. And you can still find Fandeath over at Fandeath. You can also find the network at Dawnforge. Join our new Battle.net group at bit.ly/bnetata, and please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Universe.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of a birthday.
Happy birthday!
This podcast brought to you by Dawnforge Productions, copyright 2019. Get more at thedawnforge.com.